The other addition to this section is, at the moment, it works only on basis of the FIC providing a name to the institution and asking the institution to tell FIC yes or no if this is your customer or not. The other way around, with if I may have an account, a number, or a client number for an entity, the proposal is for the FIC and to ask the institution who is the holder of this account, who is the client to whom this number belongs. So not giving a name, but giving the number and asking the institution to respond. So those are the two proposals for the amendment on this information gathering function of the FIC.
Any comments, please?
I don't have anything personally. If you look at the section on document B, it asks you, is that right on page 33 now? In relation to closed accounts, does the 5 years recorded in obligation apply to section 27 record? You covered this. Buster, do you have anything to say? All right, Tandy is here.
No, why do you do it like this?
Exactly.
I'm already. No, just.
I like your answer. Hey, your one-stop shop is traveling all over. I think we just have to say. Even the slapping people were one-stop
shop. So in advance, starts from day one. Day one is tomorrow. And see how you program the activities for these 2 years. To take you through all the discussions and what has to be done. On the members' questions. Are there any questions to the presenters? Honorable Mugara. Honorable Essak. Honorable Blanche. That order.
Thanks, Chairperson. Let me first start by commending the chairperson for both the Standing and Select Committee for the work that you did in mediation, let me call it that, over and above whatever the National Treasury was doing, because I think it minimized a lot of the tension, although not really your role, but I think it minimized it, and sometimes it's important to get into a space that's going to see the end or the natural conclusion of a process. So let me just commend both the chairperson. I think from our side, yes, we do support the retirement reforms, but let me say that to National Treasury, we did say, both the Senate and Select Committees, we warned National Treasury that if you don't simplify and don't communicate clearly the ramifications or the results of what you're doing, there is going to be the outcome. You're going to get a lot of confusion. You're going to get workers withdrawing from funds, resigning. It has happened before. And we really did. We want National Treasury. But even before you do, we pass the legislation. Let's simplify it. Let's get to a point where everybody understands exactly what it is that you're trying to do. And here we sit with the process as a result of many things, but I think one of the major things is that we're unable to simplify these messages and communicate the exact the same message or the same result of implementing any type of legislation. And I really hope that within the next 2 years, before this the retirement reforms come back, National Treasury, together with all stakeholders, whether it's those that participate at NET, like even us, ourselves as parliament, we get to a stage where we communicate exactly the same, so that we lessen the confusion. It doesn't matter what type of reforms you want to introduce. I know that, well, what you're raising is unforeseen circumstances as a result of now the postponement, and you had to close gaps and those types of things. Now, I want to really caution, maybe caution National Treasury, not to expose yourselves to other areas that a lot of concern currently. Because you're going to find a situation where people continue to shift the goalposts. Now it's an issue of annuitization and social security. The social security paper has to be concluded. National Treasury has committed to do those things. And it is the issue raised currently. But if you, for obvious reasons, might raise other areas of concern, you're going to find that in 2 years' time you might have addressed the social security issue or the paper, released the paper, probably not to everybody's satisfaction, but you would have released the social security paper, dealt with the issues or the questions around the annuitization, but alerted everybody else to other ramifications. And you're going to have an ongoing process which will just never end. And at some point, National Treasury is saying that retirement and provident funds need to be harmonized and reformed in such a way that, they, that the tax benefits are the same. We have to work towards that. And how we work towards that, of course, I don't envy National Treasury at the stage, but I think how we work towards that, it has to come to a conclusion. Because I think in 2 years' time, you're going to sit with new issues and new problems or new questions and areas of concern. I just want, just for clarity, on page 13 of your... Yes, that page. If you could just explain the means test. I think when you were explaining it to... If you could just explain it so that I'm clear. But other than that, I think from my side, we were part of the process of the deliberations and the amendments to the bill and all of that. But I think there's a lot of things that National Treasury must be cautious about and take responsibility for, ultimately, for the situation that we're in now. Thanks, Jim.
Thank you, Honourable Motara, for those kind words. Honourable Isaac.
Chairperson, thank you for the opportunity.
Yes,
lots of perhaps what I want to comment on was alluded to by my colleague for me. So I'll just try to be brief. Perhaps if we could just maybe go to page 3. I think it's slide number 3. You know, the second comment where we say that annuitization would still be law even if 2015 TLA not signed into law. Just maybe, you know, just explain that very briefly again, the implications. I think you covered it, but maybe it was a little too fast for me. If we go to slide number 5, we have a comment of ASISA that supports the law. And down there, the last point, where we say there are concerns that any change in implementation will cause administrative difficulties, as, of course, industry is now ready to implement as legislated. Now, obviously, this is creating a huge, opening a huge can of worms because of the fact that, you know, industry was planning to, obviously, make this effective from 1 March. How are we having that from a... How is that being handled from an administrative point of view? And then, of course, on page, slide 8, the second point, scrapping or not passing, will mean a rejection of the revenue proposals in the budget. I'd just like you to expand a little bit in, or just very briefly in simple English, the implication of that. And then the loopholes and coverage increases, okay, that's straightforward, so you have been on that one. And then... I just want to quickly share a business with your permission. Slide number 11. How do we, you know, if you look at the column on disadvantages, specifically on slide number 11, where we talk of disadvantages, how do we handle this nightmare? Because in my opinion, it's turning into a nightmare. And I'd like to just try to understand that how, going forward in the next 12 to 18 months, how do we contend with this scenario, because obviously, you know, if you look at what's going to be the indication, if I understand correctly, these people will now obviously get a little bit more money out now, if I understand it correctly, based on the tax deductions. Now, if I get 50 Rand more as take-home pay, and then down the line, suddenly... it's biting my pocket, and I realize with all these new implications and these next all these new tax laws, because let's be very honest, the majority of us laymen in the street are not really interested in the dynamics of how the system physically functions. I'm interested in what I take home to my family. And, you know, if I'm taking 50 rand a month home now, more, and then in 12 or 18 months from now, I'm taking 150 rand less home. You know, how are we going to explain this? This is why I'm beginning to get the impression that this is turning out to be a nightmare. So maybe you want to comment briefly on that, and then to a person on slide number 12, you know, with due respect, my colleague alluded to this, we're going to have a huge, huge lash, what is the right word, what is the word, a lash back, put it that way, because the question still arises, what would you expect if we do not come to consensus in the next 18 months? We're timing this over a 3-4 month period, but as we all know, you know, 24 months is going in a flash. Within 18 months, in my opinion, within 18 months, we will really have to have all of our ducks in a row, cleaned, ready to go. But you and I do understand that we're going to have to manage a huge slashback, and I don't know how government is proposing, or National Treasury is proposing that. And then in closing, sir, on the last slide, the release of the Comprehensive Social Security paper later this year. We're talking later this year, that's now in the next 7-8 months. What is timing roughly around that? So listen, thank you.
I just want to sensitize members to what we say in our report. Constant, regular, feedback, briefings to this committee. As I see it, that we get these briefings jointly, Standing Committee Finance, Senate Committee Finance, from the Minister, on the process. Constantly. That we are on board. To cover what the Honourable SHG mentioned. I know that we recognize the presence of Honourable Kleni and welcome, sir. And we also recognize Edward Denkens. I invited him. He was first at the Standing Committee for Finance. Honourable de Blanche.
Dear President, thank you. I was to a large extent covered by the previous two speakers. And the only thing that mine is, you know, I would say, you know, an observation, just a comment maybe. Apparently, there's not really any agreement yet. And as far as I'm concerned, what I'm wondering about, you know, during the briefings and discussions that we had, earlier meetings, you know, I am not even totally convinced that, you know, people or organizations like Kusatu and others, you know, that they really want this. And I think that, and you touched on that, Jefferson, and, you know, that a proper process needs to be followed. But I think sooner than later, we need to arrive at the point where we determine whether Kusatu and them once again want this at all. You know, there is a feeling apparently that people feel they want to deal with their own financial matters. Yes, we surely support from our side that, you know, we would like to see our people sorted, taken care of financially when they're getting older. Like myself, I'm not too old yet, but I'm older. But I'm, you know, really this is just a concern that I have. I am not convinced at the moment that our people really want this. And I just want to raise that. Thank you, Jefferson.
Thanks, Jefferson. I remember before this law was passed, I commented in one of the meetings. You see, maybe it is for this reason maybe I could say this is I would just say maybe chickens are welcome to roost. I should indicate that, you know, most of the time we indicate and show that, you know, MPs are being used as rubber stamps. Because, you see, they don't participate in major decisions. And in the long run, when it backfires, you know, people will look at the MPs themselves. You know, having forgotten already, sometimes maybe it is the National Treasury that comes up with the work that they did themselves and want us to rubber stamp. I indicated earlier because you see, when some of these laws are passed, we should not just get a small paper which shows that, you know, law X, just without any, you know, content in it. We should at least, this is the way to operate. Maybe we are new in these things, but the way things are done, I'm not convinced that we are doing these things correctly. Because if we were involved from the first hand, we'd be able to see that, you know, just argue around those issues and see how best we can come out of that, so that we can be able to participate and also let all the stakeholders participate. Honorable Mutara and the other two colleagues have covered most of the past, but what I want to know is that how is National Treasury going to handle this further going forward? Because you check, you know, the confusion still continues, and people are still resigning, and it is, we're just ending this within, you know, the ambit of government. No one outside there is aware what is actually taking place. All the years that, you know, this was just in the fact. All I want to know from Treasury is, from here, what do they intend doing to make sure that this has settled, so that people can be sure of what is actually happening? Are we changing for the better or for the worse? So if maybe we could exercise, get clarity on that one. Thank you, Chairperson.
I think we first of all start by welcoming the presentation and the comments by my colleagues in seeking clarity. I do agree in those areas that they like to inquire further on. But I'd like to read a comment, I think, and most importantly, I think we should agree that the responsibility to legislate side with us. So the greater role to navigate through areas which stakeholders are presenting and so forth resides with us as members of parliament. So that process of making the legislation, we are going to be pretty much ahead of it in terms of what form the legislation takes and what objectives it serves. So I think that we should be comfortable that we are still in charge of the process and we are leading this process. Hence, Parliament creates a platform for public hearings, stakeholders to present their inputs, and then we come at some determination of what legislation, the type of legislation we want. So we should remain that as part of that Parliament that listens to stakeholders, but ultimately will come to a conclusion. So in that way, I'm saying the 2 years before deferment of the annuitization should be welcome to facilitate greater consensus and allow this greater consultation. We have seen now, I think Treasury is very clear, advantages and disadvantages, but the current environment, which was held both by the President and the Minister of Finance, creates space for us to allow for this greater consensus. So no doubt, we shouldn't allow rumors to escalate. We need to find a way of dispelling some of these rumors. So the process of 2 years allows for this thorough consultation to deal with these issues. And we must say, from our side, Chair, we heard what the trade union movement was raising. For instance, the issue of over-indebtedness of workers and how that will impact on workers in the short term, but we also appreciate the intent of the legislation over the long term, that there's a need for savings, the task of saving, and even the retirement savings is very critical in the long term for us. We must say without fail. So that's my view, that if we mount this massive campaign to engage with workers and their respective trade unions and directly talking to workers, we are going to make progress that this should be understood for what it is. It's a very important bill in the country. It stands between addressing development in a major way, because we must contribute to our retirement. And that's the message I think that we must pass. But the shortcomings, whatever subjective problems that existed, this 2-year process allow for it. So I would say
that we should not say chicken come back home to roost. No, it's consultation. And we parliament have got a right to allow for stakeholders to inquire and to engage fully and clarify themselves. So I think this process also is within our grasp. It's us that initiated the legislative making process which I just said. Thanks very much. So we support this one.
Thank you, honourable members, for your questions but also your remarks. The point is, honourable members, our role doesn't stop here today when we adjourn this meeting and we cover this amendment bill. It actually starts because from Monday we are in our constituencies. We're going to address workers. Even your domestic worker is a worker. We have to go and explain this. It's our responsibility. We are in parliament. We are accountable to those people outside in the street. Yes. They're going to ask us, what did you do the first 3 months of this year? Tell us. You've got to reply. This is part of the reply. What we have in front of us today, this morning, is consultation within the meetings, within the public hearings, but also outside the formal meetings. To get a softer line. There were hard lines. It became softer. Why? Because people speak more to each other. That's why this 2 years. That's why I said take out the diaries, start diarizing dates. When are we meeting who? To do what? The parliament will call on a regular basis the National Treasury to come and report. It's our job to monitor this process. It's not only them and the stakeholders. I noted, Honourable Makara.
Thank you. I don't want to delay the meeting. I just want to say that, hey, it's not, you know, it's a misconception that it's only union members and workers that misunderstand the bill. And I had a practical experience when the legislation was signed into law by the President. I was servicing my car on that day. And the service consultant was really, really angry. And I mean, he doesn't belong to a union, he doesn't. And I'm just saying that let's dispel the myth that it's only COSATU or union members that are also agitated by it. But it's because of the communication and what we communicate. And the argument that he was making was that simply government wants to overregulate our lives, we must be able to decide what we want to do with our money, if it is, it's mine, etc. But the point is that if you don't communicate one message clearly in a simplified manner, you're going to get, and I agree fully with Otomai, at some point government must govern and legislate. You're not going to please everybody. You're going to please, but we must go towards pleasing the majority and doing what's in the best interest of the country. Thank you.
Thank you to the members. You may reply.
Thank you, honourable members. I'll deal with some of the questions and Chris will deal with some of the questions. The first question I'm going to deal with is the one that was raised regarding the statutory annualization received below even if the 2015 bill was not signed. What happened is that the retirement reform started in 2013 and the law was passed in 2013. However, when we came to Parliament, Parliament requested us to postpone the date to 2015 so that we can do further consultation with all the relevant stakeholders. So the law was already passed, but the effective date was postponed. So the President has already signed in the law. So what happened is that in 2016, when we did the consultation, we decided that let's increase this minimum to 247. So that was the only change that happened in 2015 or 2016. But we said, okay, all the days should be 2016. So if the President did not sign the 2015 law, the annual decision was going to take place because the registration had already been there, the effective date was postponed. So that is the main cause. And then when you say scrapping the whole bill, it will reject the 2015 budget proposal. In terms of the money bill, the Minister of Finance makes budget proposals on the budget day. So those budget proposals can be law if they come into the legislation. So the 2015 Taxation Laws Amendment Act did not only have the timing, it had other things that were mentioned by the minister in the budget proposal. So if we scrap the whole 2015, means that all those proposals that we presented them to you will be out. So, and it cannot apply. That means that the 2015 budget on tax proposals will be like fruitless, will be nothing. Hence, there was no way that we could grasp the whole 2015 Traditional Laws Amendment Act, because it not only contained the retirement, it contained other things as well. And then Chris will deal with the risks and advantages. And then I come to the issue that is raised by Honorable Mkereni. Within the 2 years, how is NT going to handle this going forward? Parliament has requested us that for the 2 years we do the consultation process, and they requested us to put that in the bill. We have done that. And then the minister is going to report back to Parliament on the 31st of August 2017. And then Parliament will still determine, because as the executive did not pass the law, Parliament will still determine whether we go forward or not go forward. And also before the retirement law, retirement reforms were passed into law, there were papers that were published by National Treasury regarding what is required to be done. We did not just go into the legislation without papers. There were papers that were published, the law came into effect, there were consultations, and as you can see, I think we've got about 32, how many things with NEDLAC for? Lots of meetings with NEDLAC. We put them in the report to Parliament, because we asked about the consultation process, and still now we are still required to consult. Chris is going to deal with other issues.
Thanks, Yanga. Thanks, members, for your comments. They're very useful. I'll just go through some of the points and the means test for the old age grants. So if you earn above a certain level of income, you don't get the old age grant and the same asset threshold. And I think that's around $70,000 a year as an individual and about $140,000 per couple. And for assets, it's about $1 million, so quite large. But it excludes your primary residence. But it gets tapered off quite quickly. So I think it's, if you've got income above $20,000 or $30,000, it starts tapering off. So you actually get less and less and less and less and less all the way up until you get zero. And that's how you can get the scenario where, you know, if you say and you purchase and you're now in effect forced to get an annuity because you were part of a provident fund where you got a tax deduction, you know, that income will count towards the means test, so that you then might not receive as much or the old age grant at all. So that's the perverse, what we're trying to avoid. The concerns around implementation, how is that being handled? The slide, let me just quickly get it, the concerns that any change in implementation causes administrative difficulties for the industry ready to implement. So the big concern was on the tax deduction side, and it, you know, they said, look, this will be a huge issue if we suddenly reverse the tax deduction side, and you know, that's one of the reasons why we've gone ahead with the tax deduction side, to limit those issues around implementation. From the postponement, the implementation isn't as severe. I mean, NAFISA were here, and Lisa also put in their letter that they were disappointed about the postponement, but they would still support it as they understand, you know, the need for further consultation, and they understand what's going on. The postponements and annuitization only affects from an implementation point of view when somebody actually retires, and then the retirement fund has to decide whether they have to purchase an annuity or not. So it's a far fewer number of people, and it wasn't going to affect provident fund members over 55 anyway, so there are very, very few individuals that it would have affected in the first year in any case. So, which is why we think the administrative difficulties around the postponement is quite small. You know, what's no agreement? And I think this is why we're highlighting the risks about no agreement. What do you do? You know, you've got a very good point. Suddenly you get 50 Rand now, extra now, and you'll get how much less in 2 years' time if the tax deduction is taken away. And that's something we're very worried about. We've admitted that we can't take the full tax deduction away because for provident funds, the employer contribution was deductible anyway. And so we had options that we put forward in the October round when it was at the end of last year, where we said we would decrease it to, say, 10% deduction. So those are the things we would have to look at. But, you know, so it might be a smaller reduction in net pay if they don't have the new type. But as you say, it's still a deduction in net pay, and it would still face opposition. So what do you do? So, I mean, you know, really our view is that we've got to try extremely hard to convince people of the merits of the annuitization upon retirement. And if they do have other concerns, we must address them, even if it is through other reforms or other measures or other types of regulations. I mean, that really is our first goal. We've got to try and get people on board with this, and we've got to try hard. If we just can't get an agreement by, say, the middle of 2017, then we're going to have to think about the options. You know, we will think about them internally. We don't really want to talk about them too much now. But, you know, we will put those other types of options together, and then we can think about it. If worst case scenario, we can't get any type of agreement at all. No, I mean,
let's Chris reply, please.
I think we are very cognizant of the fact that you can't keep postponing. I mean, we postponed this twice, you know, and people were questioning our credibility already. So, I mean, we can't continue to postpone. We know that we can't. If we can't get agreement, we can't get agreement, and we must put an end to it. And that is that. And then we need to think about other options, because what we can't allow is the tax deductions to continue without a new transition. So then we need to do something else. You know, we don't want to go in, because, you know, we're very aware that it'll be extremely difficult to then decrease people's net pay. So then what are the other types of solutions? You know, do you tax people differently at retirement? Do you change the percentages of annuitization either so that they accept annuitization in that respect? You know, there are lots of other things we can try, but first of all, we really want to go for what the law is as it stands and try and get agreements on that first. And I think we're quite certain of that. So then this is on the comprehensive social security paper and the timing. I mean, the minister said the end of June. So we said, you know, the standing committee would put forward a report where they did 3 months from the promulgation of this revenue laws amendment bill that you're putting forward. So whether that's the end of June, whether it's 3 months since when this bill gets promulgated, we know it needs to be soon. We need to have discussions with the Department of Social Development and get it through, and, you know, that's it is high on our priority list. And I think, you know, there was a question of, you know, people aren't convinced about this. I mean, we would agree they're not convinced about it, this at the moment, which is why there's strong opposition, and that's why we need to get into the detail. But we think it's a good opportunity. People are now starting to engage on the issues. You know, why is annuitization bad? You know, a year ago, no one was engaging on the issues on why this is bad. They just said, no, we don't want this at all. But now if you get to the details, oh, it's bad because of this, it's bad because of that, it's bad because of that, there's an opportunity to say, okay, well, then what if we fix it this way, and what if we fix that this way, and we fix that way? So, you know, we think there's a definitely improvement, and there's improvement for better engagement to try and get people to agree. And on the list that only workers misunderstand, we completely agree that it's not just the workers misunderstand. I mean, even prominent newspapers, editorials of prominent newspapers in the country are still getting this wrong by saying that money will be taken if you resign and you can't get it. So, thank you, Chair.
We invite those who question us to Parliament. Parliament's doors open, committee meetings are open to the public, and you're welcome to come and attend. Why? Because this committee is going to deal with the Monetary Amounts Amendment Bill. This committee is going to deal with Taxation Laws Amendment Bills that's coming our way in the second part of the year. So that is an open invitation for those who are very concerned. Come to Parliament and come raise your view. Yes. There was a remark made about the nightmare. Let's change the nightmare over into a sweet dream. That's what we hear. If I go on a public stage and I talk of nightmares, people are going to run away. You've got to draw people to watch you. Yes, John Maxwell wrote the book, The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. Go and read that book. How you change a nightmare into something positive. It's precisely what has happened here. They still saw this as a huge nightmare. And persons' views softened, and that's where we are today. With an amendment on the bill, going forward. There must be some way in the industry, because models of annuitization. Somewhere in the world, there must be other models. And go and do that research. Let's get that information to Parliament, and also learn what else is there in the industry, in the market. Yes. Thank you, honourable members. I think that covers the questions that were posed. Honourable members, that report, a report was circulated yesterday afternoon, trying to capture what we did until this moment in this meeting. I hope the other members went through the report. I'm going to put the report to the committee, page 1. Page 1. It's fine. I put to the committee, page 2, the committee's observation and deliberations. That is what came out of the consulting process. I take the honorable members to point 4, the recommendations. Pardon? Then to page... Yeah, page 3. Order. I know you are very excited to go with these provinces, but just hang your, I'll hold your horses. Page 3, honorable members, there's 2 bullets at the top. I want to add the sentence. National Treasury must engage with parties outside NATLAG, including stakeholders in the industry. Let me broaden this consultation with more stakeholders in the industry. Those people, those stakeholders also come to Parliament when we get our feedback from the minister. And I think that's where a committee or 2 committees can bring people together. I'll give it to Solani. I put to all the members specially. Thank you, honorable members. I put the report to the honorable members to the committee. A proposal for adoption. Honorable Morara adopts. You want to raise a comment, honorable Esa? You're welcome.
Thank you, Chief. Chairperson, yeah, with due respect and without getting into a lot of detail, which we've discussed in the past and you've heard it before, and in the various debates, we would just like to be included in the report that as the Democratic Alliance, we should object to the amendments of the report, and that objection be noted. Thanks. Thank you.
Minuted, and it will be added to the report. I give it to the Secretary. There was a proposal, there was a seconder for the report, it was Honorable Hyde. Thank you, Honorable Hyde. Honorable members, that covers the report. Thank you for your cooperation. That brings us, honorable members, to the minutes. Now, it's quite a stack of minutes, but there's a reason for it. We had a couple of meetings jointly with the Standing Committee on Finance. Yeah, no, we like China Treasury, but you are diseased. I told them when we started. thank you for coming. Thank you for doing your work. Thank you for the transparency. You are under the top 3 in the world, the National Treasury, when it comes to budgeting. We go take that message back to the Ministry as well. Thank you. You are released. Have a cup of coffee or tea. Honourable members, I take you to the meeting of the 16th of February, the minutes. The minutes, yes. Let's cover this with... the honourable members received, Nosipo gave him a package. Just organize it in the sequence, starting with 16 February, reading by Land Bank and their corporate plan, on their corporate plan. I put to members page 1. Page 1 is fine. I put to members page 2. Honorable members, just in terms of our minutes recommendations, and I requested the Secretary, we are working on our second term program of the committee that does be incorporated into our program for the second half and not left until November. Committee resolution. Thank you. I put the honorable members page 3. I put the minutes to the honorable members of 60 February. Proposed by honorable Matara, seconded by honorable Bishop. Thank you. Minutes. events of the 17th of February, briefing by the Budget Office, Parliament, and the World Bank. That was a very high-level discussion. Page 1. Thank you. Page 2. Very straightforward. Presentations were circulated. And page 3. I put the minutes of 17 February to the committee. Proposal on Bumatara, seconded by Honorable Lance Wade. The minutes of the 21st of February, briefing by the Minister of Finance on the budget. Honorable members, page 1. This was done jointly with the Standing Committee. Page 2. Page 1. I recognize Honorable Gaila.
Apology is not an apology. I apologize on the
teacher. Apology is not recorded. Zippo, you must hold.
Even mine, eh? Mine has to be recorded too. I phoned my PA, unless otherwise may not have received it, but I phoned my PA. I noted it in the diary.
I listened to the member. All the members, it's my responsibility, if I can't be here, to draft the letter, go to my PA, type this letter, email it to the chair, email it to the committee secretary. That is a basic in administration. So let's apply that, please. Then there can be no confusion and not pointing of fingers. So when the attendance register circulates, sign it, please. It's a very important activity in a meeting, is the attendance register.
Sir,
I don't want to make a speech.
No, I respect what you're saying, but I just want to say I concur and I totally do not agree that Honorable Mutaleni's argument can be accepted here. So he's absent.
That's why I make the rule, and that's the rule. Thank you. Honorable members, page 2. Thank you. Proposal for adoption. Honorable Matara, proposal seconded by Honorable Moai. Thank you. Minutes of 1st of March. Briefing by the PPO and the FFC on the revenue proposals and fiscal framework. Page 1, all the names are there. All the members, page 2. The 1st of March. All right, let's get serious. Page 2. And honorable members, page 3. A movement for adoption on Bagheela proposes. Honorable Isaac Sekers, thank you very much. Minutes of the 2nd of March. We're coming closer. Minutes of the 2nd of March. public hearings on the fiscal framework and revenue proposals. Very thorough and intensive engagement. Page 1. On the members, page 2. Happy with page 2. Page 3. Yes, sir. Absolutely, you're right. No, you're right. It's good to see members enjoy the meeting, sir. That's positive. That is a sweet dream. Thank you. I put the minutes to the honorable members. Honorable Advance, you propose for adoption. Page 1. Say again. According to the secretariat, the gentleman signed as a Mr. or so, but he is a professor at the business school. I know. I know him outside. There was a mover and seconder for the adults for this minute. McLean is second. All the minutes we nearly done. Order. The minutes on the 3rd of March, briefing by the National Treasury on the Revenue Laws Amendment Bill, public hearings on the Revenue Laws Amendment Bill, jointly with the Standing Committee, Honourable Members, page 1. I see, sir. Page 2. And page 3. We move for adoption. Thank you, Honourable Edward Moos, Honourable Tara Seconds. Honourable Members, the last one, the 4th of March. Responses by the National Treasury on submissions made on the FFC, on the fiscal framework and revenue proposal. Sorry. Page 1. Correct. Page 2. We asked for workshop, etc. Yeah, that's music for the second sum program. I put a minute of 4 much to the honor. You can't move if you're absent. Honorable Matara moves to adoption, seconder. Honorable Muay second, thank you. Honorable members, the minutes of the 8th of March, consideration and adoption of the committee report on the fiscal framework and revenue proposals. It was also a joint meeting, but then we looked at it separately. Page 1 and page 2, short. Direct to the point. Move of adoption. Matara moves on to SR seconds. Thank you, honorable members. That covers all the minutes. We are up to date with our minutes and that administration.
Yeah, but this will tell you that's why the busy first.
Well, yes. The committee staff will compile a report that will be submitted to the leadership. And yes, it was there. And he's picking up speed. That thing is picking up speed.
A bit of comment here. You know, the problem why most of us are upset. You know, there are clashes. There are clashes here. You see, our committee meetings here, the clash with, you know, the provincial ones. So.
Provincial ones?
Yeah.
I go now.
There are some of the activities that we do in the provinces.
We are deployed here to be members of the National Council of Provinces. The priority is here. If there's activities in the province, you will have to consult with the chief whip. You will have to put forward a signed leave form and add it to the leave form the reason for not being here. That's the procedure. But the point is, and it applies to myself, I'm putting a finger to Sheldon here. That is procedure. And then you must prioritize. The priority is here, although you are representing your province. Tomorrow and Friday you will be in your province doing the briefing on the Division of Revenue. So cover other work as well. Not only the Division of Revenue, do some more work. That's it. One good guy there and over.
Chairperson, some of us are going to do provincial briefings. I'm doing mine tomorrow, Easter tomorrow and so. But I'm really worried about Limpopo. Who's doing Limpopo? Because as far as I know, Mr. Mjilin is not aware that he's doing a briefing. Can you hear us, please?
Honorable members, we now on the appropriations, and there's the chair of appropriations. I'm not trespassing on other terrain.
I think the fair question, we as a Select Committee of Finance have the right to know if Limpopo is being taken care of and if briefing is going to be done. Perhaps through you, the chairperson on appropriations could react.
The Secretariat of Appropriations dealt with and consulted with the provincial officers in Constitution House that liaised with provincial legislators, and feedback came back to them what is happening where. So that information is there, and the Secretariat will inform the chairperson of the Committee of Appropriations. That's how it works. So That is the point. I want the members to consult with the Honorable Chair of Preparations. After I have this meeting, I'm going to conclude this meeting. Order. It's good to see that you are a small smile, you're not crying. So, yes, it's close to and to Easter. So, thank you for honoring this meeting. Thank you for your inputs. Thank you for the first term. We worked hard. But more is going to be expected from us in the second term. We must lead by example. With that, all the members, this meeting is adjourned. Thank you to the staff that assisted to arrange this meeting and all the documentation. Just call on the management team to stay behind and just touch up on a few matters regarding the two committees' programs. This meeting is adjourned. Thank you.
Who did you